Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me, as always, is the whistler to my blade, Nate.
You cock-juggling thunder cunt.
I knew it. I knew that's the one you were going to pick.
That's line of the movie. I remember that line instantaneously as soon as I saw this movie on video for the first time. Like, oh, never forgetting that.
Yeah,
never have.
Yep. Oh, Ryan Reynolds. We have plenty to discuss with that. And of course, we have our queen of unsuspecting victims, our own Whistler's daughter herself. I guess that's the only other female character besides, you know, Parker Posey in this. Lisa.
Natasha Lyonne, blind character. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sure. Take your pick. Yeah, bevy of choices. Lisa.
Hello.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Use it.
I know that's what you should have done when we were watching Gretel and Hansel. Just tell me
to
use it.
Did you feel when Wesley Snipes was doing like the worst pep talk of all time, Jessica Biel in this movie, and like he was like saying like it, oh, like okay, here, I'm helping you, but he was like up above her, like 30 feet on a balcony. Like giving her a pep talk, and he said like, "Don't let it turn inward." Did you feel that? Like, but it was about the podcast.
Yes.
He's like, you have to go out. Like, you don't let it turn in and like consume you. Push it back out. All of that that's happening.
Oh my gosh!
I thought of you when that scene was happening. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, Lisa needs this terrible
pep talk.
Yeah.
I just got to listen to that before every episode.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're just going to have Blade inspirational quotes like, right? Use it. Don't let it turn inward.
Motherfuckers always try to ice skate uphill. Like, you just got.
Oh my gosh.
That's the best Blade quote. Look, we're getting way out. We're already trying to jump into this review. Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, where each week we take a look at a different horror movie and debate a horror related topic with our unsuspecting victim, who's usually not someone we would consider a horror fan. Well, look, it is Summer Stab week 3, and we couldn't finish out the year without knocking out the whole Blade trilogy, especially because this one has Triple H trips, if you will. So yeah, we are doing Blade Trinity this week. I gotta say, Nate, we're gonna get into it, but trips may be one of the bright spots of this film, and that's saying something.
I don't know. What you mean, the way he dies?
It's everything about Triple H in this film is actually maybe a bright spot. We're gonna discuss it. I've got some thoughts.
Oh man, maybe we watch different movies.
I mean, this is, and I mean, look, this is a interesting time, right? We're reviewing a Triple H film. He's back with WWE as the creative, he's the executive vice president of creative talent.
Because this is the Summer Stab, Summer Slam event. I will allow this talk.
Oh, yeah. Vince McMahon's gone.
Very apropos.
Oh, yeah.
Events and
God, help me. If Bray Wyatt shows back up, I'm all back in, baby. I haven't watched wrestling in like months, but I'll be all back in. Lisa, how excited are you?
Lisa, how's your mental state been after not watching wrestling for months in the background?
It was really great, honestly. Now it's about to go downhill.
Oh, yeah. The minute, yeah. Bray Wyatt's going to come back. Scarlett and, oh, man, I'm blanking on the name. But, yeah, I mean, so many people coming back. So excited. I don't know that Bray Wyatt's coming back. I can only hope. I can only put that energy out there that he returns to us like Dracula in this film, but maybe with better results. I've got so much to get into. And, Nate, I know you love this movie.
You know what?
Unironically.
Watching this movie with the director / Ryan Reynolds / Jessica Biel commentary was a treat. Yeah. I will say that.
This is the Limp Bizkit of horror movies. Is that a fair thing to say?
No, this is more like the Crystal Method of horror movies. Crystal Method made a remix of this one of their songs specifically for this film.
Okay. Well, we're gonna talk about some music. I wish we maybe should have saved this one for our good friends at Why I Hate This Album. This had some choice selections. We're gonna get into that before we
choice like that. I feel like you had to say it like that for it to be accurate.
It's unfortunate, but it's fair. With that though, look, we got to get into our debate question for the week.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
We had to go back with the old drop in honor of Triple H being in this week's episode. Come on now.
Fair.
I mean, Nate, I've got a couple. I mean, do you have a debate question off the top of your head? Because I've got a couple things we can jump into, but I don't know if you already had one loaded up for this.
You know what? I like to hear what you want to talk about. I'm okay. I'm getting mixing it up.
Okay, let's talk about just classic. Like in this movie, we're bringing back Dracula, like a classic movie monster. And we'll talk about how successful that was when we get into the movie review. But as I watched this film, I just kept thinking, beyond 30 Days a Night, when was the last good, like, I mean, vampires just kind of suck now, right? And I'm curious if you had
the entire, I mean, there's the entire Twilight movies. I don't understand.
You don't understand. I mean, besides 30 Days of Night, right? Vampires just aren't as threatening as they are. And I'm genuinely curious. Think of your old classic monsters. How would you rank them? Like, do we need a Blade, but fighting something different? You know, what do you think? Are vampires just not the... Because I feel like, and where this came up is I feel like as a child, vampires are so cool, right? They were always kind of a top like monster in horror movies. And as I've gotten older, I mean, we've got an Interview with a Vampire that is kind of okay. I get it. Then Twilight, then this... Outside of the Guillermo del Toro vampires, they all kind of suck, right? They seem pretty easy to kill. They're not as intimidating. They make really dumb choices in a lot of films. I don't know.
You want something else?
Well, I wonder, I mean, are they really the top of the pecking order in terms of, you know, the old classic monsters? You know, do you think werewolves are more intimidating than vampires? Would you put zombies as scarier or more intimidating than vampires now? Or how would you rank those?
Sure. So, I mean, I'll start. So scary monsters for me is closer to things like the Wendigo from Antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Like an actual monster.
Like a creature.
A creature, if you will. Thank you. I don't know. And a werewolf is closer to a creature. So I'd say vampire is the bottom.
I feel
werewolf
like...
werewolf creature. For me.
Yeah.
Right?
What do you think? What do you think, Lisa? You're about to jump in there.
Well, I was just going to say, have they ever made vampires scary? I feel like in every incarnation.
Here we go.
What? I feel like.
You didn't see Cat Williams in The House Next Door meet the Blacks too?
Did you see that?
I don't know if you know, but probably the best reviewed movie of this year is Jared Leto, Louisiana's own Jared Leto and Morbius, right?
Oh, God.
So it's look, we're going to get into Morbin time in this review. Don't you worry about that. it's going to be Morbin time. I've told Lisa I'm saying that at least 8 more times before the
oh, my God. Over. I forgot about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
That was a better...
No, bitch. Come on.
I don't know. God. I just, man, I don't know.
It's, you know what? It's been a bit. It's been a bit since we've seen like a real good vampire movie. I'm not counting What We Do in the Shadows, which I love that film, but not really like a very good one. But the thing
with vampires is they're always romanticized. It's not, I mean, name me a scary, Interview with a Vampire, you know, then Dracula, he's going after Mina, his dead wife. I mean, it's always, I hesitate to find a movie that they're just killing machines, you know?
Well, and then you run the risk of them just becoming glorified zombies.
Right.
Blade 2 straddled that line, right? Yeah, where they were close, they were getting closer to zombies, but enough. The mouth opening a little different.
Yeah, maybe it
was a tweak, but yeah.
maybe Underworld might be like the first one might be the better version of vampires, and only because they had to make them so intimidating enough to sort of
take on the world.
Well, yeah, reasonably go.
They were
against
closer
the world,
to like gods. They were almost closer to gods.
Yeah,
practically, right? Like demigods or something. That's true. I'm looking at looking at some reviews that I've given. I mean, I think the last good vampire movie that I watched was A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is from like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Iranian movie that is very good. Highly recommended it. And then then you got like the late 2000s, Let the Right One In, Thirst, 30 Days a Night, Underworld is in there with the sequels. It hasn't been a good one in a while. Wow.
I mean, 30. Yeah, 30 Days a Night maybe is the best take on a vampire where they feel like their own unique creature. They hit on all the things that I think you like about vampires that make them truly scary, you know. But God, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at trying to remember all the different like classic monsters, right? So mummies the mummy's lame, right? The Invisible Man is better now with the remake, but like the original one, who cares? Frankenstein. Oh,
the original one is one of the greatest films ever. How dare you?
I'm just saying, like, is the Invisible Man scaring you, right? Like, of all like the classic monsters, I mean, Bela Lugosi's Dracula is probably like the best one of all of them.
What about Nosferatu? Come on.
Yeah, Nosferatu's fair. I mean,
it's 100 years old.
The creature from the Black Lagoon before he was basically an Oscar winner film trying to bang people. I mean, I don't know. I just.
I don't know.
That's Nate's favorite movie of all time is that movie. I don't know.
Saw my mom. You know what? This is throwing me because there hasn't been. I would highly recommend A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yeah.
As a very one of the more recent, better ones. But yeah, I mean, like last like 10 years or so, not a lot of good vampires. I think Twilight really kind of sucked the energy, right?
Pun intended.
Out of vampires. I was gonna bite my lip on that one, but. I think when Twilight happened, then zombies, right? So then zombies like had a nice run after that. Need vampires to come back with a probably grittier vampire. These are a little too like they'll for a little more fear, you know, like you need a little more of a.
You know, I take it back. John Carpenter's vampires is not a terrible. I think that, and Lisa, you're probably right. I think the problem with so much vampires is like. Their motivations are usually really stupid or it's like, it's either they're very romanticized or like I mean, we'll get. They just don't make any sense what they're even trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good vampire movies. I'm trying to think like the most recent, right? But like, there's plenty of good. John Carpenter's been, obviously previous episode Lost Boys is well regarded. Yeah. Nicolas Cage and Vampire's Kiss. Classic. Dust Till Dawn, you know, all there's all,
yeah,
and the rest. There's older ones, obviously. Blackula, no. Scream Blackula.
Maybe you helped me come. Maybe you helped me come around. I've forgotten about a couple of these. I don't know why.
Now, there's a Salem's Lot remake coming out this year for a very recent vampire movie, and there was one on Netflix. I don't remember what, like last year or the year before, where it was on an airplane called Blood Red Sky. There we go. And the first half of the movie was incredibly solid. Mm-hmm. Then you're in an airplane for a really long time. So you can't make it. So it metaphorically and literally nosedived in the second half. But there's been some attempts that have been interesting. That one was more like a disease. It was like a disease, right? It was less like, you know, like sensual, you know, like yeah. Bite. Like
I know.
Like a nice, pull the hair back while bite it, you know, none of that. It was more like a disease and how it manifested. It was a little more interesting, but it couldn't sustain itself because it was literally an airplane movie. So
I noticed you didn't bring up Night Teeth.
Night Teeth, what's that?
Oh, you hadn't heard about it. Night Teeth was some it was a Netflix vampire film. I think it had like Sydney Sweeney and Megan Fox. They had Alfie Allen in it.
That doesn't sound like something I'm very interested in.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, there's vampire movies, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
did vampire movies like they're like the 80s, like Near Dark, Lost Boys, early 90s, like Dracula, and then there was like a late 2000s kind of burst.
Yeah.
It's been a little gap.
I think it's really been,
Queen of the Damned,
zombies have really been, I would love to see more like Frankenstein, you know, create monster type of films.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be remiss.
Zombies are probably, I think zombies are still king at this point.
Yeah, I'd be remiss not to mention the classic films Dracula 2000 and Dracula 3000.
What about Dracula Dead and Loving It?
That's fine. Leslie Nielsen, okay. I'm okay with that. Dracula 2000, Gerard Butler, Johnny Lee Miller, and then Dracula 3000, Casper Van Dien. Come on, you apes, you want to live forever. And Coolio sang bazongas in a movie. So did I rent Dracula 3000 right after it came out? Absolutely. And do I remember key lines from that movie? Also correct. And is it a 2.1 on IMDb? 3 for 3 right there. Future episode. Lisa, which one sounds more exciting? Dracula 2000 or Dracula 3000?
Who was in which one, you said?
Dracula 3000 has Casper Van Dien, Coolio, Udo Kier, and Erica Eleniak, who is from the 90s Baywatch. She was the other blonde one who is not Pamela Anderson. Or Dracula 2000, very early Gerard Butler, Johnny Lee Miller, Christopher Plummer.
The Gerard Butler one.
And vitamin C, if that tips the scales at all.
No, but that's okay.
And as Nathan Fillion, but I wanted to save that for last because I knew you'd pick that one. Okay. Dracula 2000 is Lisa's pick. All right. Got it.
There you go. Well, look, let us know where you stand on vampires. Did we reach, I don't know that we ever reached a conclusion, but let us know. Did you agree with us? Disagree? TexasPodcastMassacre@gmail.com. TXPodMassacre on Twitter. TexasPodcastMassacre everywhere else. Look, get those 5-star reviews in. Let us know what movies you want to have us review. And guys, I got to say, we got a new one. Got a new 5-star review here from good old friend of the show, Whiskey Nuts. Jesus. Look, first off, the title, he literally titled it this.
Get out of here, witch!
Whiskey Nut says, bring it back. Best audio clip you've ever used. 100% agree. He loves to get out of here. Look, we don't do a lot of the... Nate and I don't go to see the movie opening night and then immediately do an episode on it like we used to. So may have to start doing that. It says, let's keep a tradition going with Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
And if that's
already been done, then Paranorman. You're welcome, Lisa. Lisa, he tried. He tried, but we have not done Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
He knows very well we haven't done Hellraiser.
We haven't done any of the Hellraiser. I know. We're going straight to the sequel. I love
this
it.
This is one of my all-time favorite reviews. Wow, that really hit all the brain chemicals are firing for you right now in the right spots. This is pretty great.
He tried. Yeah, Paranorman would have been.
The Hellraiser, check. Get out of here, witch, check. Shout outing Lisa. Yeah. Lisa shout out. It's perfect. This is 3 for 3 right
there. Paranorman would have been a solid fix for you, Lisa. But we're going to do Hellbound Hellraiser 2. Oh, can't wait. Do you, I guess the only question is, Nate, if you recall, how much does Lisa need to know to get into Hellbound Hellraiser 2? I don't think much of anything from the
very
first one.
Very minimal. Almost nothing.
I think they even have sort of like a minor recap at the beginning. If I'm recalling, it's actually been a while. 2 is one I have not seen in several years.
2 is the one I've seen most recently. Yeah.
Is that the one you've seen most recently? Okay. It's the one I've probably seen least recently.
when my oldest was born, I watched literally 4 Hellraiser movies while in the hospital.
All right.
But then I watched 2 later. And classic distinction of title colon then the franchise and number, not Hellraiser 2.
That's right. It's not Hellraiser 2. Hellbound
first. Hellraiser 2, which I always loved. So this is A+ Whiskey Nuts. That's all I got to say on that one.
A+ Whiskey Nuts. Give us those 5-star reviews and you too can have a review done. Lisa.
You can ruin my night.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lisa, on a scale of one to 10, 10 being mine's about to explode, I'm so excited, and 1 being I'm really excited. How excited are you for this one?
I mean, I'm just going to not even dignify that with a response.
There you have it. Can't wait. Yeah, we'll get that right up on the schedule. But first, we've got to get through tonight's movie of the week, which is Blade Trinity.
I have to ask you a couple of questions. What can you tell me about vampires?
They exist.
Blade. First, he faced their gods. Then he battled their demons. But all that was only the beginning.
He's come back.
Vampire Final Solution.
You can't win this war alone.
Who the hell are you people?
My father meant for us to help you.
Whistler's daughter.
What the hell makes you think you know about hunting vampires?
Just for starters, I used to be one.
Blade Trinity.
There's nothing stopping them now.
It's me.
Blade Trinity. It is a Blade movie and the first one with the Marvel logo in front of it and a Marvel style in credit scene. So the official first entry into the MCU, we'll debate that. Lisa, what's the elevator pitch for Blade Trinity?
The elevator pitch is everybody needed a paycheck including Ryan Reynolds, Jessica Biel, Wesley Snipes, Patton Oswalt, Parker Posey, Triple H, and others that I can't even think of right now. And so they're like, hey, let's do another one.
Yeah, it's really a who's who of what the hell are you doing in this movie?
Interestingly enough, though, we started watching it and we're like a few minutes in. And then I turned to Mitch and I go, wait a minute. If I watch this, then I've watched all the Blade movies. And I'm trying to remember another character, horror movie character, where I've seen all their movies. And I think
it's so good. It's so good.
I think this might be it.
That's it. Nailed it.
How do you feel about that? I just need to check on you. How are you holding up?
The fact that I inadvertently watched the entire trilogy is weird.
Weird's one way to describe it, for like, sure.
How did that happen?
Animal attraction to the greatness that is the Blade trilogy.
What are you saying, Nate?
It's just so good.
Words are trying to stumble out of your mouth on this?
It's got its own gravity. It's that good.
Oh my God. Nate, what can you tell us about this movie that we watched this week?
Blade Trinity, the third and not final. There is a Blade movie coming out next year, apparently. I just recently announced for the end of next year. So that should be interesting. Lisa, are you interested in another Blade movie?
I'm really curious. Did you say they already announced who's playing Blade?
It's Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
What else has he been in?
He was in, he's in Moonlight. I think he won Academy Award for that one.
Okay.
He was in House of Cards for a bit. He's a True Detective.
I think he was in Predators and
he was the
bad
guy. He was the bad. What was one of the Netflix Marvel shows? He was the bad dude. Not Jessica Jones, the other one.
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage?
Thank you. He was the bad guy in that one.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just depends. I tend to like Marvel movies, but we'll see.
If he doesn't say the best line that came out of this franchise, I riot.
They it's a PG-13 movie. I looked it up, Mitch. So,
oh, they can get away with saying. I mean, they can get away with it. It's fine.
What, trying to ice skate uphill?
Yeah, some motherfuckers always. I don't even care if he says motherfuckers. As long as he says something about people ice skating uphill, I'll be happy.
So Lisa was talking about Ryan Reynolds in this movie. Well, so Ryan Reynolds was the commentary with the director, David Goyer, Jessica Biel, and Ryan Reynolds is hilarious and awesome. This was basically the first action film that Ryan Reynolds was ever in. So Ryan Reynolds is like, yeah, I don't know how to like hold a gun or do any of this stuff, talking about how he's getting injured all the time. So for anyone who likes Deadpool or anything like that, you're welcome to Blade Trinity for starting that. Because this was basically
Deadpool in this movie.
Well, he was Deadpool before the new Deadpool movies and that
got this was the critically acclaimed showcase that got him in front of people to eventually 12 years later be Deadpool. But then he was in movies after that, like Smoking Aces, and yeah, he was in the Wolverine movies. Briefly Green Lantern, if you remember that, and some other ones. Now he's in my girlfriend's boyfriend's hitman's ex cousin. He's in all those.
Pretty good.
He's in what's the one? Red Notice 2. He's in an upcoming movie called upcoming series called Fuddha Mucka.
Some Fuddha Mucka is always trying to ice skate uphill.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. So yeah, he's got like multiple series now. He was in the other action movie, Six Underground Netflix. He's the action dude now, the quippy action dude. And this was the start. So you're welcome, people who like those movies, which I don't care for. But we got Jessica Biel also. Jessica Biel, you might remember from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's right, early 2000s. the year before this movie, she was in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Was the movie good? Actually, it was one of the more decent ones, if I remember correctly, from that time period.
Wait, is that the one? That's the one Matthew McConaughey, or is that the different one?
No. This one is they even with the limited budget of young people, they couldn't have afforded Jessica Biel and Matthew McConaughey in the same movie. Just Jessica Biel. Gotcha. I think Matthew McConaughey was in the Next Generation.
That's right. He's in Next Generation. Yeah.
New Generation. I think it's New Generation.
Our New Generation. Sorry, that's Degrassi. Go on.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jessica Biel. Anyway, Jessica Biel. No. Yeah, so she had just been in a horror film. Apparently turned on this movie multiple times, and then eventually got in it. Best shape she's ever been in, apparently. So there's that. Not in very much horror after that. Unless you count I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry as a horror film. Not getting a whole lot in the horror section from her. Other than do you remember this movie, Mitch? The Tall Man.
Oh no.
10 years ago.
No, I mean I actually it sounds familiar, but I'm thinking about the Bye Bye Man, which is also terrible. Oh,
yep. So. Yeah, she was in the Tall Man. That's pretty much the extent.
Please don't leave us a 5-star review for either the Tall Man or the Bye Bye Man. Anything with the whatever man in it.
Slender Man instead. We got Wesley Snipes in this one. Obviously, Wesley Snipes. All the Blade movies, you know, he's not coming back as Blade, so that's done. He was in the What We Do in the Shadows TV series and the, you know, the trial scene with all the different vampire cameos, which is hilarious.
Which is great. It was one of the best, one of the bright spots. I mean, that was a classic episode to begin with, but making that cameo where he's having the shitty Zoom connection is just priceless.
Very good. That's most of his horror stuff, which is fine. You got Parker Posey, who you might remember from Scream 3. That's right. She's in Scream 3. She's in Dazed and Confused. Not a horror movie, but I just love it. And she's not really in like big stuff anymore, but she's not in big stuff anymore. There you go. That's it. I don't know where I was going with that. There's a couple of characters from A Mighty Wind in this one. You might remember the other character in this one as the psychiatrist / TV personality / vampire apologist, John Michael Higgins. I think that guy's hilarious. Lisa, what do you think? Dr. Edgar Vance in this one. What do you think? Huge fan.
Yeah, I like him.
I can see that being a dude that you liked. There you go. He's in this one. He's got two Mighty Wind people in there, which is great. He also does a lot of voice work for some of the characters who are in Scooby-Doo films. So tied there. We got, last but not least, Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, in this one.
Paul,
do you know any other?
Yeah.
Do you know any other movies Triple H has been in? Can you name any off the top of your head?
Oh God, was he? He went in Triple X, was he? No.
Triple H and Triple X would be hilarious.
Would be. Maybe that's why I brought him there. No, I don't believe I can. I know he's been in a few, but I can't name him.
So I was looking around, and he was in an episode of Robot Chicken. He was in a movie called The Chaperone.
Okay.
Where he is the star of the film.
Can't imagine that went well.
I had not heard of it until I started looking it up, and his very Photoshop face is on the front. So yeah. There's that. And he was in a movie called Inside Out. Not that Inside Out. With Parker Posey again. So they got back together and Michael Rapaport. So if you want to see a movie with Triple H as the star, Michael Rapaport and Parker Posey called Inside Out, which is like, it looks like a very generic action film. It's possible. So
no, I'll just
watch. Summer Stab next year.
I'll just watch the Battle Royale ripoff with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I don't know what that means.
There's a movie Stone Cold Steve Austin was in where it's like Battle Royale. It's a total ripoff of it. It's a bunch of convicted like criminals are put in an island and they have to like kill each other.
Sounds right.
And the then it's called The Condemned. The Condemned.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
It's not good.
He's also in multiple Scooby-Doo movies. Scooby-Doo and WWE had a thing for a couple of years. Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery, Scooby-Doo the Curse, and WWE Curse of the Speed Demon. You got multiple things like that. So he's done a couple things on the side. Not very many, and those are your choices. So, also a cameo on the Drew Carey Show. So there you go. Prestigious acting career. And this is, I would absolutely assume, the highlight. Last thing, David S. Goyer is the director on this movie. If you looked at his director credits, you would think, oh, interesting. Blade Trinity, a Snow Patrol music video, some terrible movies called The Unborn and The Invisible. It's like, okay, not much going on there. But if you look at his writing credits, you see some pretty good stuff. He wrote the screenplay for the original Demonic Toys movie, Mitch. Demonic Toys, the spinoff of Puppet Master from Full Moon Entertainment. He wrote Crow, City of Angels. He wrote Dark City, one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. He wrote Blade. He wrote Blade 2. He wrote Blade Trinity. He wrote, I don't know, a little screenplay for Batman Begins. He wrote and developed the Blades TV series. He wrote the story for The Dark Knight.
Oh my gosh.
He wrote the story for Dark Knight Rises. And in the same year, Call of Duty Black Ops 2. He wrote the screenplay for Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, the second Ghost Rider movie. He wrote the screenplay for Man of Steel. He wrote, he developed the Constantine TV series and Da Vinci's Demons. He unfortunately wrote Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Was he responsible for the Martha line?
He might have been, actually, like literally. More Call of Duties, more Call of Duty games. The screenplay for Terminator Dark Fate, unfortunately, created the TV show Foundation, which I think is fairly solid. He wrote the story for the new Hellraiser movie coming out this year on Hulu. He helped develop the Sandman TV show coming out for Netflix this year. And he wrote an earlier screenplay for the currently filming Masters of the Universe movie.
I mean, I've got to say, of everyone involved in this movie, I think he might have made out the best.
Yeah, and he also has produced a ton of movies, including some classics like Antlers, The Night House, etc. So this guy is all over the place. If you look just at the director credits, you don't get it. He's transcended after this movie.
I mean,
massively.
At least I have to ask, how shocked are you to hear some of those movies from this director?
Incredibly shocked.
Because certainly the Dark Knight ones were those are high up on your list.
Yeah, sure. No kidding.
Yeah, this guy's great. Also produced Tomorrow War, that really generic action movie with Chris Pratt last year. So not all great, but he's around. He's
hit or miss, but
yeah, a lot of output. Really putting in the work. Anyway. Yeah, so there's that. There you go.
I mean, I guess, yeah, you miss Blade Trinity. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, I guess.
Taglines. Where it begins, so it shall end. The final hunt begins, and he's fought the forces of darkness alone, .. until now, basically erasing Kris Kristofferson from the entire series. So there you go. The tagline that makes the second character that's been in all of them totally obsolete. There you go. All right. Thoughts on this movie. I went into that pretty deep, but it was made for $65 million and box office 132, which is not exactly a hit, which is why they stopped making them, but still turned a profit. All right. What do you guys think about this one? Great movie or the greatest movie?
Lisa, I want to hear your thoughts.
Why was it so long? Why?
That ought to just be the name of the show. Why was this so long? Sorry, Mitch, Nate, and Lisa.
You know, a lot of it was like the, there was a lot of setup. There was a lot of setup scenes. There was like a lot of dialogue setting up to stuff.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Reynolds getting like threatened with torture, not even really being tortured, but threatened with torture. They're on like an old barge in Vancouver that used to be a McDonald's, apparently. Mm-hmm. A lot doing some nice dialogue.
There's so many characters that we spend time with that don't mean it, that like they just like look. I love Patton Oswalt. Did he have to be in this film? I mean, he got to be Q for 5 minutes and then he got murdered later on unceremoniously in a basketball court. You don't even see his death. He's just dead.
Natasha Leone. Always solid. Yep. She was in it briefly. I didn't even go Dominic Purcell, who's Dracula in this one. There's a lot of people.
I mean, look, this is a shitty film. Let's just put it out of the bed. This movie sucks. No. It's terrible. No.
I don't know if I agree with that one.
What do you mean you don't agree with that? This is an objectively bad movie. First off, okay, let me ask you this, Nate. Their plan is to go get Dracula. So that he can help them become daywalkers and help bring about the new order. But when they go to get Dracula, they're in suits walking out in daylight to go like get him. So I feel like the daywalking thing isn't that much of a struggle.
Well, but they have to wear those really special suits that probably cost like $1 jillion. So
they couldn't. I mean, according to this thing, they're like the fucking Illuminati. They control the whole world. Is paying for some suits really a deal breaker here? Maybe spend a little less at the blood clubs. I don't know. I just feel like they've got that worked out a little bit.
That didn't seem too bad. I mean, Blade 2 had the same thing. Blade 2 had the same thing. They had the suits. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. So he's saying, why do you need Dracula if you already have the suit?
Well, because then they can go out with impunity. Because in the suits, they can't really feed
they're
on anybody.
They're vampires. This is my problem. This is what I brought up.
They can't feed on anybody.
But this is why I brought up this in the debate. They're fucking vampires. What do you mean without impunity? They can practically they control all like the police and everyone. They can pretty much feed on whoever. Why? For everyone's talking these films about these insects below us, but we probably shouldn't go out in our special suits during the day. Why? Who's stopping you besides
there's
Blade?
There's not enough vampires to like go full out. There some vampires are just being out in the open, like those kids trying to take down Jessica Biel, right? But Blade is doing such a good job of killing so many of them, they can't quite reach that tipping point yet. So they still need a little bit of stuff.
Well,
what I'm going to go with.
One way to maybe stop Blade from killing all of them is instead of tossing a baby at him, maybe you kill him while he's trying to catch the baby.
Well, it's because Dracula has his own agenda. Right?
Oh my God.
He's a warrior from ancient times.
Okay, this is the other problem I have with this movie. What is Dracula's agenda? They awaken him. He crawled away and hid himself because he was disgusted with the world, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And so they bring him back, and his first order of business is what? does Dracula care about?
So he goes to his room and gives everyone the silent treatment. Then he eats like crazy, and he has mood swings. He's a teenager. So Dracula's a teenager. Don't try to assign. And then he gets mad at Blade and tries to fight him at the end. There you go. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa, when you saw that Dracula and Blade were going to fight, did you imagine it was going to be a really ripping ass sword fight?
No, I actually didn't mind that.
He didn't mind it. Okay.
The sword part where he like hits his shoulder and tries to like cut his neck and he like moves the neck. I mean, come on, that was awesome. That's actually some technical sword work there.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. The action sequences are just fine. But
Dominic Purcell did the entire sword fight, by the way.
What a waste of a waste of Dracula, especially when you have this like I know why he did it because of budget and all that, but you have this badass Dracula concept where he's like a fucking like actual dragon. Why would you ever change to like a Dominic Purcell why would you just not be in dragon form like all the time?
Because they don't have the money for that.
Well,
I'm saying
the CGI was spent on killing a lot of vampires and making them ash, which was awesome. And secondly, he's a guy because he doesn't think Blade has any chance. Then when Blade does have a chance, then he goes into the final form, if you will.
That's very dumb. Anime, this isn't Dragon Ball Z. Anime style. Okay, yeah, I'm about to say this isn't Dragon Ball Z. Just dumb.
Dracuball Z. I don't know. But yeah, it was the.
Drake, and I kept thinking Drake was going to show up.
I love that
so
much. I love that. This is pre Drake, by the way. I love that so much. It was great. No, I will say I like this movie quite a bit. It's like when Freddy in the third Freddy movie, right? He just like he goes a little more campy, a little more B movie, and leans into it. That's what this movie does. So first one solid, second one ramps it up a bit, third one goes a little bit more comedy, a little bit more B movie. But I like how they lean into it. So I enjoyed it in that way. Probably didn't expect a Freddy versus Blade comparison in franchise movies, but here we are. So. What do you think, Lisa? General thoughts.
It was fine. I mean, it was Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds, which I appreciated. There was a lot more child endangerment than I would have liked, but yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there was. The baby was fine.
And the little girl.
Yeah. Do we know that she's fine? Like she's there.
I don't even think they show her
getting rescued. They don't care. She's scenery. Who cares? Like
she's fine. She was tough.
Oh my
God. She was talking back to the vampires. It was pretty good.
Yeah, so it was okay.
What do you think about Triple H specifically?
Oh my gosh. I knew that he wouldn't die that early because it's Triple H. But geez, he lost it a long time.
Yeah, Lisa was really excited every time there was a hint that Triple H might die. Like she's like, all right, bye, see ya. I guess she's excited just to not have Triple H on her screen.
He even throws a suplex of Ryan Reynolds onto the ground.
Yeah, he does.
So
look, you gotta stick with the moveset you know. I mean
And this is why I like it, because I think the action's pretty solid. Like some of the ad-libs and jokes I think are pretty good. But it leans into being a campy action movie. It's not trying to be too serious. You know, Guillermo del Toro and Blade 2 were a little bit more serious. I think it also worked, right? But it's just, you know, it's a different kind of movie than the other two, which I appreciate. I don't want them all to be the same. So I did like that. Ryan Reynolds is just, yeah, he's just put me in action movies. I'm trying to be comedy and action. Like, let's make this happen. He goes all out for it. Jessica Biel is surprisingly solid.
Yeah, she did a good job.
In this. I would say surprisingly solid. And it wasn't was just she?
There was some other action movie she was in, or maybe I'm remembering wrong.
Oh, she's in a bunch of other action movies.
Mitch, wasn't she in that one with Colin Farrell?
Like it was the Total Recall remake.
Yeah, it's that one.
She was in Next with Nick Cage. Also,
wasn't she Elektra?
That sounds like a superhero thing.
So. What?
Was that her? Was that Alba?
No, isn't that Jennifer Garner?
No, it's Jennifer Garner.
Okay. How do I know that? Before you come on, guys, come on.
They're all the same. I don't know. It's back before I cared about Marvel.
I didn't see Jessica Alba in a Capital One commercial during March Madness. You're welcome. All right.
That's fair. So.
Yeah, she's surprisingly. Oh, she's in Stealth. That's the one I was thinking of. That was an action movie, right?
There you go.
She's surprisingly good. She's actually somewhat believable, like kind of as a badass.
Yeah, she did a good job.
He kept commenting on like how good her arms look in the commentary, which I loved. She was her and Ryan Reynolds were talking about like their routine that they had to do, like the specific brand of protein bar they had to eat for like months and like all the chicken and stuff. And they were complaining when the scene came on. She's like, wow, my arms look really good.
She worked hard.
Worth it? I don't know. But yeah, it was, she's crazily believable. Whistler, after the first movie, being all in blood with the tissue, Mitch, your favorite scene of all time, finally bites it in this one. Were you sad when you first saw this?
I mean, a little bit, right? I liked Whistler. And I was more sad that, like, Blade couldn't go and wipe more blood off his face with a tissue paper.
this time he gets a full sheet of the paper towel. Like,
oh, just, yeah,
a little extra. Yeah. Whistler dies, you know, Jessica Biel's Whistler Jr. Ryan Reynolds. I mean, there's a whole crew. They just get, I mean, but Dracula's so good, they just get murdered so poorly. I mean, poor Natasha Lyonne, just like acting like she's blind, just going into Dracula was pretty rough.
Why are they giving, I'm sorry, you've got a member of your crew that's blind. You're giving her a gun and not like a UV like flak jacket. Like, she has like triggers and it's just UV lights. She can just walk around and be okay.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be way better?
like they didn't have UV lights just everywhere. No, they gave her a gun and said, just point somewhere and start shooting.
Well, the power got out. But you would think there would be some sort of battery lantern-y kind of thing. Instead of a random gun.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
Give a gun to the blind girl and make sure she, you know, you got this right.
That could be the one plot hole.
That's probably the one of them. Sure.
That's probably it. Oh, man. Anyway. Yeah. And then after this, obviously, you know, the movie did okay. They did a Blade TV series, and then it's been dormant ever since, which is kind of wild considering how well the movies did even before superhero movies were big. Now they're big, and now they're, you know, it's taking them some time to come back. Unfortunately, not with an R rating. This movie is a hard R rating, for sure. Did you guys watch the theatrical version or the extended cut version?
I'm not sure. Whatever's on HBO, so I'm gonna guess the theatrical.
Okay, because I watched the extended version.
Okay.
So there's about six.
I don't recall there being an option on HBO, so whatever.
Got it.
Whatever it gives you.
So I gotta own it on Blu-ray, Mitch.
Oh, is that why?
That's the key. I think you can buy it for like $8. I mean, I'm not even joking. All three movies.
I already spent on my horror money for the month on Puppet Master.
You did.
Yeah.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, Taylor. Appreciate you.
Now, I want to get into the music of this, because the music of this was done by RZA and Ramin Djawadi, who did the music from Game of Thrones, which I know Lisa would enjoy. So before writing the Game of Thrones theme song, this guy was doing Blade Trinity tracks. Isn't that incredible? I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So there you go. So then you got RZA. So then you got, you know, Ghostface Killah, Raekwon. You got some other.
It's not RZA's best work.
An old dirty bastard
with
track.
Fatal.
Yeah. Hey, it's all good. You obviously got your Weapons of Mass Distortion mix from Crystal Method on there. It's very techno-y. Like, as I say, it's not Limp Bizkit. It's more techno-y in this one, which is interesting. I think Ryan Reynolds at one point mentions trip hop when they're in the van after one of the most ludicrous escapes from a police station of all time. Yeah.
Did you catch her playlist that she's trying to set up? She's got a number of songs from Jurassic 5.
I like that.
Yeah. Like Red that. Snapper, Mike Wells, Silencer, Dave Ralph.
Interesting.
I took a screen grab of it. I'll send it to you, Nate.
Wait, Fluke? Oh, yeah. I love Fluke. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Oh, I love Fluke. Wow. Absurd. Oh my god, what a song. Yeah, this.
Well, now so Nate's vampire.
Going up.
Nate's vampire going up. Playlist would be very similar to this one. Lisa, if you were hunting,
Spotify has a Abigail Whistler playlist that you can check out right now, prominently featuring in the picture Jessica Biel's nice arms. There you go. Oh, look at that. It all comes together.
Lisa, if you're hunting vampires, what's on your Spotify? What's on your vampire
that
hunter
is
playlist?
A great question. Ooh, that's great.
Oh man,
that is good.
Down with the sickness.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just is that are you kicking off with Disturbed? Like you're gonna start with that drum beat right off the bat, or is that okay? All right. I love it. I love that pick. What else? What else are you throwing in there?
Bulls on Parade.
Bulls on.
Oh.
Okay. Lisa's going in just blasting.
Yeah, you gotta get something to get the blood.
Lisa's not
going.
Doing ninja shit. She's just kicking the door down and just firing.
Yeah. Love it. It's like, oh yeah, you know, Pierce Brosnan would like do a quip and she's just like Daniel Craig running through the fucking wall.
I can't.
It's like boom, done.
I'm not gonna play dance music. I gotta play music that makes me want to punch something.
I am not faulting any of this. I love it. I don't know what I expected.
That's fantastic.
What else you got, Lisa? I'm curious. Give me like one or two more.
Oh man.
We ask the hard questions here.
Carrie Underwood before he cheats.
Oh my gosh. No.
Oh no, I could that one works out pretty well. I took my keys in just swinging shit. I mean, that'd be tight.
There's probably some System of a Down in there. I'm just trying to think of what.
Oh, so, yeah. I would imagine Chop Suey would be your
Sweet Pea? I don't know. Early.
Yeah, you're a Chop Suey fan. I mean,
yeah, Chop Suey probably.
Chop Suey's so slow though. I thought you wanted
I would have figured it was all gonna be like Brit pop, like Arctic Monkeys and Muse. Almost exclusively, but okay. This was a very pleasant surprise. I'm not gonna lie. I'm very, yeah. I would listen to your playlist easily. Nate, what do you got? Are you going for like a legit, like Lisa went for like, I need stuff that's really gonna like get my, I need like fight music, right? I need like Sick Puppies War. I need all this kind of, like, I need something that's gonna make me want to punch the wall. Nate, I feel like you would go a different approach. I don't know what specifically. I don't know if you would try to go some more tongue-in-cheek, like a Simon Pegg-esque, like ABBA's playing while you're just like beating the shit out of everyone. I don't know. What do you think? Where are you going with it?
So like my vampire killing playlist. I would think Bring Me the Horizon Throne would be on there.
I mean, now you're speaking to my heart. I mean,
probably Andrew WK. I Get Wet.
Oh yeah. No.
Would be on there. So I'm going in the Lisa vein. Also just full out, you know, pounding type songs. Probably more the way I would go to.
Oh my God.
And then maybe like Honor by a Traitor.
Okay.
These are not my favorite songs, but these are probably my favorite, toward the top of the vampire.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I mean, they're like it's kind of like your gym workout playlist, but like.
That's exactly, that's exactly what I'm going off of.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm going off of.
All right.
There you go.
There's probably a lot more Papa Roach on my playlist that I think I'm comfortable admitting on this show. Well, there you go. All right. I like that. So, I mean, is there anything else with this movie we want to talk about? The last fight scene with Dracula, the action scenes in general in this movie are pretty good. I even liked Ryan Reynolds and Triple H's fight.
It was like a wrestling match.
Yeah,
like a turnaround that made no sense. Like, yeah, it actually was very wrestling-esque. Yeah. I don't know. Did you like that?
I think for Ryan Reynolds, where he was, that probably was the best like matchup for him, you know, and kind of style of it. Like, you know, I don't want to see him trying to be like Jet Li. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, he's going to more grind it out. He's going to lure dogs to their death. Does the dog die? Yes, three of them. And then last thing is I wanted to mention is just like the gadgets. We got gadgets all over the place. That's why I brought the James Bond movie thing. There's a lot.
That's why I call Patton Oswalt Q. Like for
exactly.
A little bit. Yeah.
Some of them are very good. I wanted to see like which ones you like the most. Okay. I was gonna go with in the very beginning. Blade has like a knife that detracts into like a whip, mm-hmm. Which is awesome and it never comes back. And the director was like, that was a mistake. That was like the coolest weapon. And it was like the first few minutes of the movie and then it went away forever.
Yeah.
Because it was awesome. Any other ones that stuck out to Lisa, like UV bow and arrow, you know, any of those interesting?
I like that one a lot. Mitch was telling me a fun fact about her bow and arrow. You want to say it, Mitch?
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, that just basically that she was such a good shot with it that she took out a camera.
Yeah, that camera cost like $500,000.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, $300K or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And they wanted her to get like shoot ride the camera and she was such a good shot. Yeah. Just
she did what she was told.
Apparently she became very proficient at bow and arrow during that time. So
what I didn't get, sorry if this is going off on a tangent, is they go through all this rigmarole to get the virus in Drake. Is that his name?
Unfortunately, yeah.
And then disperse it so that, you know, the vampires will die.
Yeah.
But they all die in that one building. I'm like, did you not have a plan to distribute this outside of this building?
It was bad logistics. I will agree with
well,
you.
Well, the person there. Who yeah, had that the plan got, sense. Got murdered early on because she was blind. They didn't give her like a better defense system than just a gun. So maybe you try and protect that asset. It's I'm real pissed. That something about that really set me off.
I thought you were gonna say protect that real. Ass. I thought you were gonna say protect that ass. You said asset. That's like a
4 feet away.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, that was kind of a mistake. Also, there's a whole there's like upgrade inhaler. There's like, you know, a bow and arrow with like coagulin, you know, whatever. There's a lot of stuff in this one. I don't know. I was UV lights, you know, in the headlights for Blade had extra stuff. I don't know. It was they threw a lot of stuff at the kitchen sink.
There was too much shit in this movie. Too many characters, too much shit. Like, here's my problem. My ultimate problem with this movie is that you get Dracula and like Blade's not even like fazed by him. Like, even when he fights Deacon Frost in the first one, there's like a point where he's getting his ass kind of kicked, right? Even in the second one, there's a point where he's kind of getting his ass kicked. At no point in this movie does Dracula like almost beat the shit out of Blade. And there's a moment where you're like, oh man, Blade might have actually met his match. At no point do you get that. You get one little, like, not even a fight where
he's rusty.
They're doing fucking, well, they're not rusty. They do parkour, I guess.
that's true. Oh boy. It's real.
Why is Dracula running? He's Dracula.
Dracula dead and running it. I don't understand.
Like, I would have rather them have like hid, like not even shown Dracula until the end. Like Dracula just be like a rumor or something, and then it shows up and he just starts like just wrecking shit. Like, I don't know. It's so dumb.
I don't know. Started from a rock, now I'm here.
Also, Triple A. I mean, Rock, one of his great enemies. Anyway,
it all comes back to
wrestling.
It's Summer Stab. That's it. I mean, I think we've exhausted.
Well, then look, let's go ahead and get into it. What is your final cut?
Final cut.
Look, the Get Out of Here Witch is a great drop, but I'm very partial to our final cut drop. That was. That's all. That one's ours. You know
good.
What I mean?
Like, good.
It's proud of that one. But, you know, again, thank you, Whiskey Nuts. And
get out of here, witch!
Oh, boy.
I'll throw that out. Whoa, nuts. Not the first time I've said that.
that's never going to be not funny. I'll go. I'm going to go first.
Why not? I'm still laughing about whiskey nuts and that drop.
I'm gonna set the bar here. Okay. You know, I like this. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I saw it right when it came out on video. Did not see it in theaters, but saw it.
That was your problem.
Yeah, that might have been it. Probably even better for that. I've already gone on. I like this. I like the music. I like the leaning on the B moviness. Ryan Reynolds is becoming Deadpool. before your eyes. Jessica Biel is like surprisingly good. Wesley Snipes looks like he hasn't changed in all three movies. He looks exactly the same. He's doing the same, you know, like two thirds of the stunts. It's good. The action scenes are good. So many vampires get Ash CGI'd in this one, and it was cool almost every time. So, and then Jessica Biel, fake baby with garlic spray. Also a great gadget. So I'm gonna give this movie 7 out of 10 gadgets. I liked it quite a bit.
That's a score. I saw it in theaters and
was quite a bit.
Very upset that I wasted time and energy on this. It's bad. Look, they had too much shit in it. Too many new characters that really didn't matter because they just died unceremoniously. They didn't even put up a fight.
They gave their life for the cause. They were a ragtag sleeper cell of vampires.
Oh my god! Where's this other sleeper cell that's supposed to wake up now? All of a sudden,
like you have to watch Blade 4.
Oh my god, it's bad. And Dominic Purcell, I don't know what accent he was going for. He must have gone to the same school that
it was not the Keanu Reeves. It wasn't that. It was not that. I got to push back on that a little bit.
I don't know. I mean,
that guy wears a gauntlet better than almost anybody, though. You got to say that.
Sure. Oh, here's an idea. Just wear your arm. Why is he taking his? What the fuck? He takes his armor off halfway through the fight for no reason. Then just like, I'm just gonna just shed that off. No, keep your armor on. It's clearly helping you.
Hold them back.
We're so dumb. Every bad decision is made. I mean, I realize people were probably just easier to kill back in the day. But this is just real bad. What a waste of Dracula. If that's who you're going.
What if it wasn't Dracula?
Was it fucking Morbius? I don't know. I'm not ready for Morbin time, Nate, is all I know.
I've not seen Morbius. Is it bad? Is it bad?
I don't know. It's Jared Leto, Nate.
So it can't be bad. Exactly. It can't be bad. Jesus.
It's good if you're Boss City trash, I guess. But otherwise.
It's the Requiem for a Dream of vampire movies.
Ass to ass. Anyway, but if here's the point.
That sounds like something Ryan Reynolds would say in this movie.
To be fair, that is a factual statement. This sucks. The action scenes are great. It's fine, but I mean, it sounded like Wesley Snipes was a goddamn terror on this set. He wouldn't respond to anyone unless they called him Blade. He would only respond in post-it notes. And I think at one point he told Ryan Reynolds that if he'd shut the fuck up, he might live longer. Which is a weird thing to say, especially when you're talking as the character Blade, not as Wesley Snipes.
I think some of the lines in the movie were just like, internal dialogue from Wesley Snipes, potentially.
Blade has less than 100 lines in this movie, including his one word little quips and him saying coochie coo to a baby. What?
Yeah, exactly. It's like when The Rock in the first scene of Scorpion King, his first line was boo. I'll never forget it.
Also, he has two secret hideouts and they both get like found out in the same film.
Because you don't kill humans, because apparently the Illuminati vampires with their infinite money can't find people as well as cops.
But he's been killing humans the whole goddamn time with their familiars.
He's never killed a human before.
But what about the familiars? The ones that are like human, but they're not vampires. They serve them.
He hadn't been killing them, I don't think.
He
killed 1,000 of them.
Yeah, he said he killed 1,000 in the interrogation.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But it oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And then he dropped one on their fucking head like full Batman style. He's a shitty Batman. Let's just call him that.
I don't know. I'm trying. I can't.
It's You're not.
It's almost
you're,
indefensible.
This movie is indefensible.
It doesn't matter. You made
the point that, like, yeah, it's okay to be a little goofy or whatever, and that's fine. There are plenty of Marvel films, which I think is bullshit that you hate Marvel films, but you love this fucking trash bomb of a movie.
Because this is not the best movie, but it's got a lot of actual personality. That's what I like about it.
Oh my God. You got a great personality, baby.
That's right.
Whatever. I'm belaboring this. I'm going to give this three out of 10 stakes to the heart.
Oh, that's low.
Yeah. I was mad that we're doing. I'm mad that we haven't done Puppet Master, but we're doing Blade Trinity. Lisa, where are we at? Triple H was the best part. Was one of the highlights of this film. Not the best part. That's crazy talk. But
Ryan and by the way, Ryan Reynolds had so many ad libs that made the movie.
Oh yeah, him telling them the blink's pretty funny. That's a point right there.
Straight ad lib. Also, yeah.
Sorry,
a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that got cut because like the camera crew were laughing, like they couldn't even use takes.
Yeah,
because it sounded like it was fun. It sounded like everyone had fun too. It was a fun movie, to be honest.
I feel like Wesley Snipes probably did not have fun.
No, everyone else but Wesley Snipes had fun. You're probably right. Yeah. That sounds accurate.
Anyway, sorry, Lisa, you were about to give your review. We jumped in. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think it was fine. Part of these movies now for me are, do they scare me or not? This did not scare me. It's unsuspecting, victim friendly, I feel like.
There you go.
There's not a ton of gore. There's just a ton of ash. That makes sense.
It does. Sorry.
So the fact that it won't give me nightmares gives it some points. I did like Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel in it. Wesley Snipes is Wesley Snipes. I don't know what other Wesley Snipes movies I've ever seen. So,
wait, really?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
You saw Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Which is a classic film.
If that's classic, this movie is like Citizen Kane.
No.
Demolition Man is classic.
No, fuck you. Listeners, I want you to write in and tell Nate how wrong that statement is. Demolition Man, a million times greater than Blade Trinity.
No, that's ridiculous.
How
not
dare
even close.
You? With the three seashells and Taco Bell.
The three seashells, sure. Rob Schneider is the Patton Oswalt in this movie. Agreed. But come on.
No, come on. You're being ridiculous. Lisa, sorry. We keep cutting you off. But you're being absurd, Nate.
So, what was I even saying?
I don't know. It's like dad yelled at mom at the dinner table. And everyone got awkward, real quiet.
Squabbling. So,
they were squabbling.
Stepdad yelled at mom at the table.
Go ahead.
So, it was fine. Yeah. I think I'm going to go middle of the line and give it a 5 out of 10.
All right. How very neutral of you.
It's closer.
I like that we've just beaten Lisa down so much that it's just her scale is just it's fine or it's scary. That's that's the line. It's like the love hate line from Donnie Darko.
Yep.
It's just scary or fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this one is. Yeah, I mean, you would not have liked Black Phone very much, Lisa. So
nope,
you missed that one. Ooh, mercifully. And then we did Predator before that, but Predator obviously is more of an actiony one. So this is, again, we're getting more of the action because we're getting the wrestlers, right? So
yeah, well, we've got Well, that's good. Well, all right. Well, look, we made it through this movie, thank God. And we've got one more week of Summer Stab left. We have a very special guest coming in next week. So you'll have to stay tuned. It will be a later episode coming out on Thursday next week. But it will be a good one. So you should make sure to be on the lookout for that one. Nate, where can they find us?
You find us, as always, at TX Pod Massacre on Twitter, TexasPodcastMassacre@gmail.com. Send those emails. Some of them are pretty great. Give us a 5-star review. Like Whiskey Nuts. on the podcast platform of your choice. And we will put Hellbound : Hellraiser 2 on the list just for Lisa. Give us a call, 346-246-3143. Mitch is still waiting for the person who did Gretel and Hansel to show themselves. And I'm all for it. And I'm waiting for that to occur. Please call in if you are a Gretel and Hansel fan of any kind, because I cannot wait to hear that. And yeah, Summer Stab continuing next week with a great final movie and a great final guest. So stay tuned.
Yep. It's going to be good stuff. Lisa, welcome back. I know you've been out sick the last couple of weeks. We're so happy to have you back with us. Came in for this experience. So there you go. Remember, Nate, Summer Slam is this weekend. I really should have made you do your picks, but frankly, I haven't even been paying attention. I don't even know who all's, you know, fighting, but maybe we'll do a quick update on social media somewhere. Nate will give his.
Is Drew McIntyre fighting?
You know what? I don't hear. You know what? I don't know.
No, don't.
No. Well, now I got to know if he's fighting or not. I don't know. I don't think so. He might be, though. So if Drew McIntyre is fighting Raleigh, he's no longer champion. I think for like the 800th time, Roman Reigns is fighting Brock Lesnar. I'll read these. You tell me if either of you have an opinion. Lisa, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. Who you got? Last man standing match. Roman?
Yep.
Got Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey.
Ronda.
Okay. Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch.
Becky.
There you go. All right. Lisa knows these people. Nate's behind.
I don't know.
Pat McAfee, who used to play for the Colts, versus a guy named Happy Corbin.
I like a guy named Happy Gilmore of the WWE. I like it.
All right. There you go. I'm just going to skip that one because I don't think either of you know. I'm just going to skip that one. Logan Paul versus The Miz.
The Miz.
Who's The Miz?
Oh, you don't know The Miz? I don't know how to tell you. I mean, he's actually...
Don't tell me. It's fine. I'm okay with not knowing.
He's been in multiple versions of The Marine, so...
I thought it was John Cena.
Yeah, he's in like the later ones after John Cena got off the franchise.
Oh boy. That guy, sure. Why not?
Rey Mysterio and his son versus Damian Priest and Finn Balor.
So I know who Rey Mysterio is, so I'm gonna go with that one, even though the other people sound Irish. So I'm gonna go with
Well, Finn Balor is in fact Irish. Damian Priest, I don't believe he's Irish. He might be, but I don't think so.
I'm gonna go Mysterios.
You're gonna go with the Mysterios. Lisa, who you got there? Father and son duo?
I like them all.
Oh, no. Well, Finn's a bad guy now. He's not a good guy, Lisa. That's a sweet, yeah.
All right, I'll go with the Mysterios.
Okay. All right, well, there you have it. Our super scientific...
It's like the last minute of the podcast. Throw out some random wrestling picks.
Sorry, Drew McIntyre is not fighting, Nate.
Okay, well, then I'm out. So.
All right. And then Seth Rollins is no longer fighting Matt Riddle. Maybe there's a mystery opponent he'll fight. Maybe it's Bray Wyatt. It's not. It's going to be Edge. But I wish it was Bray Wyatt. Well, maybe we'll see. If it is, Nate, you'll know because I'll be calling you no matter what time.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that this guy being gone like was a nice break for me because they kept kind of doing cool things that you'd like, so I kept having to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this has been like a nice break.
Well, break's over. It's back to school. Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your SummerSlam weekend. We'll be back for the last week of Summer Stab from all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just keep telling yourself, it's only a movie. Good night.